Hey, brother. Good morning. All right. I'll stand here so I will not be in the way. Let's see. Oh, okay. My name is Ohene Kumi, and this is my family. And we are serving the Lord in the country of Ghana, West Africa. And we are also a ministry partner with Heralds of Hope in Bracewood. And I have some of the brochures at the back there. Feel free to pick some of what I'll be talking about here. But that one talk more about what I'll be sharing here. And you'll be praying with us. My daughter is Alma. And Ohene, and then my son is Kwesi, and my wife is Jane. Alma is 18, and Kwesi is 17. And Kwesi 17 is now the big one in the family. We serve the Lord in the western part of Africa, West Africa, this side. And the Lord has given us a ministry which has now grown to 3 other African countries. What we do here is being done in Liberia, Ghana, Togo, and Nigeria, this side, Abadan area. We are involved in reaching out to families through children ministry. When the Lord called me, I got saved when I finished high school, waiting for my school test results to come so we apply for college. And then the results came, I have passed, now I was looking forward to go to college, and a friend invited me to church, to a revival meeting at their church. And from the age 1 all the way to 18 years, nobody has invited me to church before. I know where the church building is, and I know some people who go and worship there. But none of the members has ever invited me from the community or from the school. And this friend invited me because the preacher that night told them that if you are coming the following day, bring a friend or bring someone from your house. And if you don't have anybody, don't come. Keep looking forward and searching, then you can come the third day. And he meant it. That was the preacher. So he was just on me that tomorrow we are going to the church. I said, okay, what are we going to do? I started shaking. I've never been to church before. What do they do there? Yeah, I know the building, but I don't know what they do there. And then we went to church. And I got saved that night. The message was just directly to me. You need Jesus. He came for you. He died for you. And he's here waiting, calling on you. Just take a step and come to him. And I wasn't looking at anybody. I just went there straight. I want Jesus.
Savior.
And that's the turning point in my life. I went to college, everything, but now he challenged us also that go and share the message with anybody. So I have a soccer ball and a Bible in hand, and I went to the playground looking for children that I can play the soccer ball with them and then share the gospel message with them, the story of Jesus. And that's how the ministry started. And I have a lot of friends. The next day, they will bring more friends who play the soccer ball, who will stop. I will tell them the miracles of Christ, and the children like it. And I also will go back and read more and come the next day and tell them. Because it's a school break. We have school break in the month of August. The whole month is school break. The children don't have anything to do. So they are only waiting for me at the playground. I'll bring the soccer ball. And it went on and on. So when the school reopened, I went to the school, asked the principal, can I come and share the story of Jesus with the students? And he said, yeah. Even before I got there, the children were waving at me from the window. So I told him, yes, I have some friends here. They are in your school. He said, yeah, sure. So I went there Wednesday. He gave me 45 minutes. I shared with them. Then I added one more school. I was going there Friday and also sharing the same message with them, and so I have two schools. Each week I'll go Wednesday and Friday, two different schools. Then I added two more schools, then it became four schools. Then it moved on to 10 schools and 12 schools. So then I have the need for sharing gospel tracts with them. And Herald of Hope have printed some gospel tracts. The choice is yours. So I found some at Virginia, Equipping the Saints. And then I told him, yes, this tract is what I'm looking for. I can share it with the children, and they can also go home and share with their parents. And then Keith Jones, the director there, he said, I got it from Herald of Hope. Maybe they can send you a case. I said, sure, just call them. And they sent me a case. I put it all in my suitcase, sent it to Ghana, and the children like it. So we have the Bible lesson, and then we also have the Bible lesson that we give to them in the schools now. We have the Bible also that we give to them when they finish their Bible courses. So the ministry has grown over the years now, 25 years now. Now we go into the schools. We are in over 300 public schools, working with over 280 school chaplains who help us teach the lessons in the school. And we are reaching out to 64,000 children in Ghana. If you add that of Togo and Liberia and Nigeria, we are reaching out to close about 120,000 children a year. All started because of the soccer ball. The idea of sharing God's word with the children. And we just don't share the word with the children, but we are training them and sending them out to go into their homes and be sharing the same message. They are our missionaries to their homes. And they become the missionaries to their friends. And we are seeing people come to faith every week from the chaplain's report that they send in. Every week, these children go home and share the message with either their friends or someone on the street, because the chaplain asked them to do that. And they do it with joy. And they come and report, yes. Write this name and then be praying for this person because the person asked Jesus to be the Savior. We praise God for the growth of the word there. So we distribute Bible courses, and last year we were able to give away 30,000 Bible courses. This year we have funding to print 10,000, and another funding has come to print 10,000. So we have 20,000 lessons that will be printing, but we have 34 thousand, so 14,000 more. Before school reopens in September, then we'll give to them. And the Bible courses cost 96 cents for 12 units. So like $1 for 12 units per child for the whole year. And so Herald of Hope is helping us raise the funding to print the Bible. Then we have the school chaplain training, and then we have the vacation Bible school also in the month of August, where they all come together. And then from our different communities, different centers, we have VBS going on Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 11. Then we have closed. They eat in the house, come, and we have the program, and then they go home and they eat. We only provide snack for them. And they like it. Then we come to the community and show the Jesus movie. And then that is what leads to the church plant. Because the Jesus movie, we tell them, bring your parents, invite them to come and watch the movie. So the whole community come and then we watch it. Those that get saved, then we tell them we want to have a discipleship group for you, the adults. Just come. Bring your friends. Let's sit down. And let's begin to ask, who is God? The concept about God. And how is your relationship with Him? Or how can you have a relationship with Him? Who is Jesus? Why did He come into this world? You bring all your questions. And then we will open God's Word and let you read it, because we are discovering it together. We don't read it for you, we let you read it. And then the remaining group, and the discipleship group will also help you to understand it, explain it. Oh, okay, so the question Isaac was asking, this is the answer from God's Word to it. So when they have it like that, sometimes they will like to hold it like this and go home and read it to somebody else. Because it's God's Word answering their questions. We don't want to provide. And when the discipleship group meets like that for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, by the fourth year, it's a church in the community. Because it's the adults coming once a week, Friday, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Every week, we continue to have discipleship group going on. So if they meet like that, after 1 year, then we begin with them about the basic doctrines of the Bible. By then, they have asked all the questions they want to ask. They've exhausted their questions. Then we begin to come up with our outline and study format, how we want to help them, and then we'll go along. So by the third year, fourth year, we have covered a whole lot from the Bible. And so they are ready. They begin to ask us, when are you going to baptize us? When are we going to have a church? When are we going to do this? So many things. And then you can see that they are ready. When you start the church, they are the ones that will be bringing their friends. Easily. You don't have to beg them. You don't have to push them. They do it freely for the Lord. Joyfully. Because they understand it. The group have been meetings for over 4 years. And they know each other. And they do it joyfully to the Lord. By God's grace, we have 10 churches started that way, and the 11th church will be this June in Liberia. And I think we are still in June. But last week they dig the foundation to start the church building, because when I was there, we did some baptism for them. They didn't want me to go to Ghana without baptizing them. And I said, if I baptize you, where are you going? They said, we'll continue with the discipleship group. And I said, yes. These are wonderful brothers and sisters who are seeking and having a desire to worship God. To worship God. This one is just a brief, let me run quickly. This is the leadership team here in Ghana. And by the way, from Ghana, we were colonized by the British, so I have the British accent. I think by now you have known it, that my English is different. But it's okay. And if you miss something, you can ask your friends. Okay, And you see there's Alan. Alan Fulton is no more on our team. The Lord called him
to glory last year, February. But he came from Texas. He's a missionary. He came down to work in water well drilling. And then he drilled the water in the community.
Then we'll go that evening and show the Jesus movie.
And then we get the discipleship group going. So it's not always that
children, but we do the water well, the community, we show the Jesus movie, we get some saved, then we start the discipleship group right away for the adults. So some churches too have started that way. And he was helping us in those areas. Now we receive the Bible lessons and the Bibles in 20-footer container that Herald of Hope
provides for us now.
From just one case
of gospel tracts. Now the ministry has grown and we are receiving 20-footer container of Bibles and Bible tracts. The work is growing and we praise God for that. And we store it in the warehouse and then from there we send it to the schools. This is how a school will be like. When we come to the school, we distribute it to the students
and the chaplain will be there to receive it.
And then the student will help us carry it out to the principal's office. And then from there, they will give it to them and they will send it to the house. They are only conveying it. They are not working. And then another school, the chaplain will get it like this and give the lessons to the students. And they are happy when the lessons, they are able to receive some. Because it's not all schools, like I was saying, last year, instead of 64,000, we were able to have 30,000. So half of the school students did not get any. And the sad thing is, if you have
a school that is close by and you go to A and give them, and then some of their siblings attend B. And they tell them, oh, we have received a Bible lesson. And then those in B are waiting and they did not get it. Meanwhile, they are in the same house. Then it put us into trouble. They keep asking, when are you bringing ours? Meanwhile, it's gone.
When they are done, then we give them the Bible,
the Bibles. And then the Bibles, we do graduation for them. One thing is we are helping them. One thing I've seen which is so nice is
when you give them the Bibles, they begin to look for their favorite Bible passages
that they have memorized already, but they don't have Bible. So this time you have to help them, and then their friends also help them. Go to the first page there, you find the names of the books of the Bible, the index is there, and then after the index you look for the page number. That will give you the book,
and then from the page number you look for the chapter, and then you look for the verse. You help them that,
and then that's what they are doing there. They know the Bible passages, but they don't have a Bible. So now they begin to look for their, and what they are doing, once they discover it, they go and show it and read it to their friends. That is what we want them to do. Don't take the Bible and keep it in the house, but take it and go and use it for the Lord. We get excited when we see them doing that. We have the chaplains come from the schools. They are Christians in the public schools, and they love the Lord, and then we bring them together for a meeting where they will be teaching the lesson in the school. We are 8 on staff. We cannot go to all the 300 schools. So we have the chaplain teaching the lessons. And then in small group settings like this,
when we have a chaplain training, we divide ourselves into smaller groups whereby every chaplain is given the opportunity to look at the lesson and come out and share with the ideas of how I'm going to teach it in my school.
And they borrow and share ideas this way and they help one another.
And more chaplain training also. And another one. Then we come to the school worship. So this will be like a school worship where a chaplain will come to the school and the children will, if we don't have big place they can sit and listen, they have to stand for 45 minutes and listen to the whole worship service there. And no student will go because Wednesdays and Fridays, some schools give us Fridays, some schools give us Wednesdays, and it's the first lesson. So Wednesday they all line up, and then you come there and you share the gospel message with them and you teach them for 45 minutes. Other places too, the churches open their doors for us to come and have it there. I wish all the churches close by would do that. Because once the children are familiar with the building, what goes on there, it makes it easier for them to come there later on. But some of the pastors there don't agree. No, don't bring the children to the church. All right. Now, this one, there is one. He was a student many, many years ago when this was taken, 2007. Today, he's a public school teacher. And when he was transferred to a community there, there wasn't anything going on. But he remembered that when he was a student, he did study the lesson with us. So he called the office. Richard called the office and said, I'm a teacher at this school, and I'm calling, and I want you to bring the program to the school. And we said, who? He mentioned the school and everything, and we said, oh, who introduced you? And he said, I'm also a product of the school, of the Bible lesson. You were coming to my school when I was little and in junior high. What? Who are you? We went there, we met with him, he's now grown, and we can't even recognize him, but he brought a Bible we gave to him. Then, in that Bible, we found out it's 2007. Then we were able to bring out some photos, and he said, I'm the one here. What? And we praise God for such things. We have the vacation Bible school going on. We have more children coming. So we go back to the public school and get the keys, because it's August. There's no school. They give us the keys. We open the doors. And then we have vacation Bible school for the children. And they keep bringing their friends. We have workbook for them, and the teachers take their time to teach them, because we are training them so when they go with the workbook, they can also share the message with someone. It's very, very important. So we take our time and groom them, disciple them very well, allow them to ask all their questions. It's not only fun, but behind it, we know we are training them for the future. And so the teachers take much interest in teaching them. We just don't rush them through the program, but we take time to disciple them. We have fun and we have games, but game is only one time, Monday. That's it. So if you don't come on Monday, you miss the game. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, no games. We have different things for them. And sometimes the classes, if you have more chairs, fine. If you don't, you can sit and write. You can sit on the floor and still write and do your notes and do everything. This is a testimony from this man. When he saw the Vacation Bible School sign, he's a Muslim and he wears basket, and his shop is close by the school. And he said, oh, okay. What is that? We said, we have a school. He said, okay. How much do you charge? Because I know school is on break and this is vacation. And we said, no, we don't charge. He said, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 children. Can I bring them? I said, yeah, sure, bring them. He said, are you sure it's free? I said, yes, it's free. But we teach Bible. Okay. I will not let them sit in the house, I'll bring them. He brought them and I put them in class according to their age group and their school stage where they are in school. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the invitation was given in the class and his son got saved. He had 3 girls, 1 boy. The boy got saved. So the teacher told me, our Muslim friend that you brought the children to my class, the son has gotten saved. So I want you to tell the daddy. I said, okay, I'll pray about it Friday. Friday we close, and then the boy went home. Then I said, no, let me go to his shop. He pointed the place. Then I met him at his shop and I told him what happened. Now Bible school is over. From next week, no more Bible school. However, your son I'm speaking the way I spoke to him that he can understand it. Your son, God saved, he wouldn't understand it. But your son is now a friend of Jesus. Oh, okay. Is there going to be a problem when you go home because we were teaching them from the Bible? He said, no. I said, why? Are you telling me so that I'll go away and you go and handle him and deal with your son in the house? He said, no. He knew that what we were teaching the children is good, because each time he has passed by the school to his shop, he realized that the children were well behaved, they were all in the classroom, and they were all listening to whatever the teacher was teaching them. And nobody was running around, nobody was making noise. He even stood there trying to listen, but he couldn't listen what the teacher was saying, so he moved on to his shop. So whatever the teachers were sharing with the children is good. So if his son wants to be a friend to Jesus, it's okay with him. I said, praise God. The next one is, now your son wants to come to our church there, because we have had a discipleship group going on there, and then we have a church. Your son wants to come join us for church on Sunday. Will you let him come? He said, no problem. I will let him come. I said, don't worry, I'll come for him myself on Sunday. Just let him get ready, and then I'll walk there and come for him myself and bring him to church and bring him afterwards. When I went there, before I got to the house, the boy was already dressed up, ready to go to church. Lord, what is going on here? But today, the boy is still attending the church. We are praying that the daddy and the mommy and the three sisters will soon join. But he let the boy come, because he has seen a difference. We don't only teach them morals, but we use the word of God to teach them the morals. And he said that right from the Monday through Friday, he saw his son a difference. He was not kicking and fighting with his sisters anymore. But it's like, what happened to him? You call him to send him, he comes and he obeys. He is nice to the sisters, nice to the mother. What were you people teaching the boy? But it's just sharing God's word with them. God's word can make all the difference we're looking for. This is how the church plan looks like, the discipleship group. When they meet together, we only provide the shirt for them, and they take it over from there. We are involved in reaching the next generations. And then we are discipling the next generation with the gospel of Christ and helping them to go and share the same message with other people. And they are doing it. And we praise God for that. We are praying and saying, come over and help us to continue reaching out to young people, getting into their homes with the word of God, and discipling the whole family. Child of Hope, he's our ministry partner here in the U.S. And all I'm saying, if you go to the website too, there was an interview with me and J. Mark, and you can find some there, and some of the brochures are at the back there. I'll bring it to a close here for now, and then we'll look to God's word briefly, then bring it to a close. Go. Okay, yeah, thank you. But like I said, there are some more brochures back there. Let's look to God's word. Why are you doing all these things? Why are you reaching out to young people? Why are you sneaking into their homes with the Bible? Why are you discipling young people and telling them, go and share the message with your friends and with your parents in the house? Why are you doing that? We come to the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 6 through 10. The book of Judges, chapter 2, reading from
verses 6 through 10. We'll look at God's word briefly here, reminding us that we are responsible for reaching out to the next generation. The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 6. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnareh, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gash. Verse 10. And all the generations were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he has done for Israel. Let's pray. Father Lord, we thank you for this moment. We come before you that you speak your word to us and bless us. Help us to understand your word, Lord. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Ha! Verse 10. It says, Moses had died. Joshua had died. All the leaders of Israel had died. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. We go back to when God gave his word to the people of Israel during Moses' time in the book of Exodus 20 verse 19, when God came and spoke his word to them and the commandment, and the mountain was smoking and thundering and lightning, and the people ran away and they told Moses, "Hey, Moses, be careful. Don't invite us to the mountain again. And don't ever let God come and speak to us. Let him speak to you and you speak to us. We will listen." Oh, okay. That's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19. So the people told Moses, "You speak to us. You alone go and meet with God on the mountain and then come and speak to us." Then in Exodus chapter 24, verse 12, and God invited Moses to come and said, "Okay, now the people say I shouldn't speak to them. They were all afraid. But I have written my word with my finger on two stones. So here it is, get it and take it to the people." And we know what happened. And then still God wants his word to be with us. So he repeated it and gave it to him. And his words continue to be with us. But Moses, when he was about to go, he was praying and blessing Israel. And God was about to take him in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 7 through 9. He told them something and said, "Hey, this book of the law that God has given to us, I'm telling you that let it be with you at all times, and don't forget to teach them to your children and your children's children. Don't forget." He repeated the same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 and 19. He repeated that and said, this God's word that I am living with you, as for me, I'm not going over this Jordan to go to the promised land with you, but the word of God that I am living you with,
Pass it on. Teach your children and your children's children. Pass it on. So here was Joshua taking the battle and the leadership, and he went on. And now we read in Judges chapter 2 that a generation after Moses had died, Joshua had died, all the leaders have died, they have come and they do not know the Lord. That is the sad thing. And they do not know the work, the works that he had done for Israel. We are responsible to teach the next generation to know God. We are. We who are alive today, we have to teach the next generation coming after us to know God. And if we forget to tell them who he is and what he has done for us, who do we expect to tell them? The world will do that. And they will twist it. They will not tell them the truth because the world does not know him. The world does not know the Lord. We are responsible. And he says, let's do that. Let's teach them. Let's teach them about God and what he has done for us. And let's teach them about his works. The great things he has done for us. It will help them in their worship. But if we forget, it will affect their worship. If you read down from where we just stopped, verse 10, it even affected their worship that down they are worshiping idols. Because we are created for worship. That's how God made us. There is a hunger in us for our Creator at all times. And that is why the search is going on, and we try to fill it with something else. So many things. Until we find Jesus Christ, who satisfies us and satisfies our souls, that hunger will still be there. That hunger will be there. But when we find him, that hunger is gone completely forever. He satisfies us. But not all people knows that. And so we who know him, we must tell them. We must pass on the good news. We must tell others. We must tell them. It affected their worship. They started worshiping Baal and others. We have to pass on the good news to the next generation that will help them to know God, and it will help them in their worship. They will not be worshiping idols as we find here. We have so many idols today. So many, several. Because we want to replace the inner hunger for God. And so we bring in all these things, but it doesn't. The omnipotent God is there. We cannot replace him with anything. It can't be possible. And that is why we are in this work, that the next generation to come will know God and they will worship him. When we are gone, they will still know him. They will be worshiping him. You know what? They will be worshiping him the same way we are worshiping him today. But we have to tell the next generation that he is real. God is real. He is there. And he has been our help. And he will be their helper. We have to let them know that. We don't want the next another generation to come that does not know the Lord after we have gone. Even whilst we are here in this world, look at all the terrible things going on. How much more when we are gone and they do not have God on their side? There's going to be more terrible things for them. So we are involved in the children ministry, but it's not only a children ministry, but it's a ministry of reaching out to the whole family. Let me close by. Let's read one more. I like the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms 71. Okay. Psalm 71, and then I'll end it. Sometimes I get excited. And it's good to get excited because the Word of God is not dull. There are so many things here that we need that will bring satisfaction, and that should excite us. I work with young people. I cannot keep quiet. I have to excite myself and excite them. So they will know that the Bible is real. They can pick it themselves and read it and then go and share it with their friends. Psalm 71, verse 17. Oh, okay, verse 17. David is saying something. Let me add verse 17 and 18 and I'll close. Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now David is saying something. Listen carefully now. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. When he wrote this, he was 70 years. He has been a shepherd. He has been a leader. He has written music. He played music. He is a poet. He has been a leader of a nation. He has been an army officer. And he also read stories to people about God. But when he says, when I'm gray-headed, when I am old, 70, he looked at himself, he said, I'm not old yet. Lord, even when I am old, give me more grace so that even when during my old age, I will still be doing something. He didn't say I will still be writing music or playing music. I'm not saying it's not good. I will not be a soldier or I will not be a king, but he wanted to do something to teach God's word to this generation and the generation to come after him. This is what David, the king, wanted to do. If you ask him, David, don't you want to be a king forever? He said, no, I want to be sharing God's word with others. That is what I take joy in. Sharing God's word with others is something that I would say to the children that kings delight to do. The king himself would delight to share God's word with others. How much more? If the king wants to do this, then we can also do it. And then we will be small, small kings after David. So sharing God's word is good. We'll pause here. And I'm saying the challenge this morning is don't wait. We don't have tomorrow. All the message that the Lord has given to us, let's make sure that we are passing it on to the next generation, little at a time, as we have the opportunity. Little at a time. You do not know the little you will share with them, how far it will go. Let's share it. Because this boy who called, Richard, we didn't know that he was one of the students there. Look at the whole student body. But he was the one the Lord reached out to him. And today, he is calling for the same message to be shared with the student at his school. Let's share it with all our friends. Let's share it. We don't have much time. And there is no substitute to this book. Oh, you won't find any substitute anywhere. It's unique. It's different. And the things that it does, there's no book on earth that can do the same thing. It's alive. Sometimes I come there and I say, okay, how many share the word of God with their friends and family this week? All the two hands will go up. I say, are you sure? If you did not do that, put your hand down. You have opportunity to do that next week. Some hands will go up. Some hands will still be there. Okay, I'm coming to walk through the aisle with the Bible. If you really share the word of God with somebody in your house, touch it. Now the Bible begins to smoke. Touch it. And then
Those who shared it, they will be able to touch it. Those who did not share it, they will put their hand quickly down. Why? They know that this word is alive. It's alive. I go through the hours in the school and then you see the hand dropping down quickly. Because they did not share the word with their friends that week. Let's pray. Father Lord, we thank you for this moment that your word is alive and you want us to pass it on to the next generation. We pray for grace to do this work for your glory. Bless us all. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.